You know that in each culture is different. Now that we have one of our members that it's from London, it's different. They make jokes, and sometimes for us it's di difficult to understand those jokes, you know, because for them are really funny, and for us they may sound a bit rude. So I would like to know, like, how does this work on culture and language and countries and.
So this is taught in hostage negotiation around the world. So these skills work no matter what culture you're in, no matter what language you're speaking. I will add a caveat to that because sometimes when you're in a different language, the wording might not translate exactly the same. So you have to work a little bit to make sure that you're conveying the same message that we're saying in English. I know I worked with a Canadian one time who was French speaking, and he had a hard time with some of this stuff because of the way the labels sounded when you said them in French. So we had to kind of come up with a little workaround for him, and he was able to do it just fine. But hostage negotiators all over the world use this stuff with great success. They use it on anybody. And the reason why it works that way is because we're dealing with human behavior and emotions. So it's the human nature response that we're speaking to when we use these skills. So if you are coming across the right way, if you are coming across with the proper tone of voice, and you're using the skills as we describe them to you, you shouldn't have an issue with it. Now, there are some things, and when we get to accusation audit, you'll see what I'm saying, but you do a list of accusations audit at the beginning of a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, to Sandy's point of being able to kind of stop inappropriate jokes, right? Whether that's gender bias, because I saw that in the chat, Lisa said too. Whether they're gender bias jokes, inappropriate cultural jokes, right? That people think are okay, right? That's kind of why this label is great. You can use it for several different things, right? If someone's making a joke, an inappropriate co joke about your culture, you can say, "It seems like you think it's okay to joke in that way." Right? Or it seems like you thought that that was an appropriate joke to use with me. Right? And it gets them to stop, and then they have to report for their behavior, essentially.
One that works a lot too is my favorite go-to label, seems like you have a reason for. So you can go with, seems like you have a reason for thinking that. Seems like you have a reason for saying that. Seems like you have a reason for feeling that way. Or if someone asks you a question that you're not really sure you want to answer, because people do ask lousy questions, and you want to make sure you know where this is going before you give an answer, you can say, it seems like you have a reason for asking that. Then they'll explain to you why they're asking, and then you'll know exactly where to go, and it'll save you time in the long run. But that seems like you have a reason for label also works with the inappropriate behavior, especially when you're just kind of creating the thought pattern interrupt. Because if you say to someone, if they've said something off color or inappropriate to you, or tried to take the conversation in a direction you don't want it to go, and you say, seems like you have a reason for saying that. And you just go silent and then let them think about what they just said. And I've had this happen before where they realize it and then they say, oh, I'm so sorry. And then they realize how they've kind of stepped over a line and they will back off of it. And it's better for them to get the hint from you and back off of it so that you don't have to go to that very assertive, pushy label, you know, like when you completely address the behavior. It seems like you think it's okay to call me that or to refer to me that way because that's more assertive. So this seems like you have a reason for it is a great one to kind of fall on in almost any situation, because you just put that verb in there, looking, feeling, saying, whatever it is, and it'll work with that label. So is there anything in the chat that we need to address?
Oh, I think we're just chatting in the chat, so
Okay. It's great. It's where
okay,
that
great.
chatting is supposed to happen.
Yep.
All right. So we have labels. We've talked about labels, how you use them, but why? Okay, why labels? Why are they one of the fabulous five for us? They play to our intuitive strength. Women are really good at picking up on the underlying dynamics of a conversation. You're much better at discerning the why behind. Part of that is because women are good listeners. So you can listen and you can get sometimes a double meaning from things. And this is why women sometimes, when you're in a conversation, you know when it starts going off the rails sooner than other people in the room, because you're able to see those dynamics and how things are going. And, you know, I blame some of that for how women have been treated all through the years, but you see when the car starts going down the wrong road. Okay. And that's a horrible thing to say, because don't we always yell about men for never asking directions? And then I just like use that. It almost sounded like a pun, but you just have an ability as a woman to observe and get the feeling for those dynamics that are underneath the situation that's happening. So that's why labels really do play to us, because we can label that dynamic that someone else in the room might not be able to see. This also allows you, when you use a label, to take that deep dive. Okay, you can deep dive down into someone's psyche, and it doesn't feel as intrusive. So this allows some space in the conversation that keeps the other side at ease. And Davey, if you want to speak to that, because.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, labels, anytime you have a question in your mind, you can turn it into a label. And that's kind of what we recommend doing, actually, is because a lot of people can feel threatened by questions. And they feel like, oh, you're interrogating me. Like, have you ever gotten that, right? Like, oh, am I in an interrogation? You're like, no, that's called a conversation. But the thing is, you can just label instead. And, that's a really great way of, no one's going to be like, oh, I'm in an interrogation. Just turn it into a label. So let's say that you were thinking, okay, I really want to know more about, where this person is at with the deal. Right. So you're thinking, okay, I want to ask them, like, okay, how long do you think it's going to take to talk to your team about this, right? You can say, it seems like there's kind of a process to talk to your team about this. Like, it might take a couple of weeks. And then they end up telling you everything that you wanted to know. But exactly. they're still at ease because you're not asking them a question.
And this does speak to being able to get information from the other side without feeling like, one, you're interrogating them, two, you come across as threatening, or three, you come across with that mom feeling, you know what I mean? That, like, your mother, why did you do this? Where are you going? What's happening? You know what I mean? So you don't want people to feel that from you. So you can get information by using a label instead of a question, which is how we gather the information, just like Davey said, and you don't come across as threatening in any way, because let's face it, powerful women do come off as threatening sometimes. And it's not a good way to be, because when you come off as threatening, it really turns off the other side. Because one of the main things that helps our skills work is being likable. Coming off likable, one of the ways you do that is by avoiding direct questioning and using labels to gather information so that you do come across less threatening.